This news story was written by Spencer Hsu, Trump's election subversion case to return to D.C. after immunity ruling. Deciding which parts of Donald Trump's case in D.C. will survive may not be happened before November's election, if ever. A federal judge in Washington is set to regain control over former President Donald Trump's 2020 election obstruction case as early as Friday, under a deadline set by the Supreme Court when it ruled that presidents have broad immunity from prosecution, except for narrow circumstances. The justices on July 1st ruled 6-3 along ideological lines that Trump and other presidents are absolutely immune from prosecution when carrying out their core constitutional powers, but can face trial for private conduct or for official acts under narrow exceptions to be hammered out by lower courts. U.S. District Judge Tanya S. Chutkan now must decide which, if any, of Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election while president may be prosecutable. A trial will not be possible before the November election matchup against likely Democratic nominee Vice President Harris, however, since whatever the judge decides is expected to wind up back before the Supreme Court next year. Legal analysts noted that nearly 5 weeks after the Supreme Court issued its landmark decision in Trump v. United States, some of the urgency that once drove the election obstruction case has dissipated. There's no point in haste now, because there's no way to do the trial now before the election, former federal prosecutor and George Washington University law professor Randall Eliason said. If Trump wins in November and returns to the White House in January, his Justice Department would be expected to drop the case, and he could not be prosecuted while in office anyway. If he loses, there will be plenty of time to do a trial next year and get all the issues right, Eliason said. What could happen next? While some analysts have raised the possibility that Chutkan could hold hearings or even a mini-trial with witnesses over what allegations and evidence prosecutors can later present to a jury, the prospect of such proceedings in the 3 months that remain before Election Day grows less likely by the day. Prosecutors and judges have to be thinking about the case, and not the election, said former federal prosecutor and University of Michigan law professor Barbara McQuaid. If I'm the prosecutor, I want to go by written filings, because it is quick, and I'm not subjecting witnesses to cross-examination repeatedly over time, which could create problems down the road, and can take a very long time. But it may be that Trump's attorneys demand such a showdown, or Chutkan needs to hear evidence to reach a decision. The court needs to decide not only whether an allegation is protected by immunity, but whether the evidence to prove it is protected by immunity, or is otherwise admissible, McQuaid said. The Supreme Court set a Friday deadline to return the case to the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, which may choose to weigh in or, more likely, return the case to Chutkan. Chutkan is expected to set a scheduling hearing or request proposals in writing from both Trump's defense and special counsel Jack Smith over how to decide three questions. Which alleged acts by Trump fall under the executive branch's exclusive constitutional authority and are therefore immune from prosecution? Which are official acts but prosecutable because they pose no danger of intruding on the power or function of the presidency? And what acts can be prosecuted because they involve private conduct, such as, possibly, actions taken by Trump as a candidate, not as an officeholder? Exactly how the court goes about answering those questions is uncharted, since the high court decision doesn't provide much in the way of the roadmap, said Chicago Kent College of Law professor Carolyn Shapiro. Chutkan would probably want to hear suggestions from both sides on next steps. Obviously, she'll decide, but she has to get a feel from the parties what their intentions are, McQuaid said. For his part, Trump is likely to lodge new legal arguments that slow down or knock out more of the case, just as he has moved to do after the immunity decision to undo his New York State conviction for falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment to an adult film actress. He has also won dismissal of a separate special counsel prosecution that accused him of illegally keeping classified documents at his Florida home and private club, and obstructing the government's attempts to recover them once he left the White House in January 2021. Smith will appeal that dismissal. Alternatively, the special counsel also could trim back Trump's 2020 election interference indictment in D.C., dropping allegations that are clearly shielded from prosecution, while arguing that it is ready to go forward with other portions that are not, McQuaid said. What will be argued? Trump's 45-page indictment in D.C. alleges he conspired to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 election by using knowingly false claims about election fraud to obstruct the government's processes for collecting, counting, and certifying the vote. He allegedly did so in 5 ways: by pressing officials in key swing states to ignore the popular vote and flip electoral votes from Joe Biden to Trump, attempting to submit fraudulent slates of electors from such states, threatening Justice Department leaders to open sham investigations and falsely claim fraud to get states to join the plan, pressuring Vice President Mike Pence to use his ceremonial role overseeing Congress election certification on January 6, 2021 to overturn the results, and exploiting the disruption of the U.S. Capitol riot to get Congress to help. But the Supreme Court directly targeted two of the indictment's five prongs. It barred the special counsel from prosecuting Trump for his discussions with the Justice Department, saying presidents have exclusive authority to decide which crimes to investigate and unrestricted power to remove top subordinates, such as the Attorney General. And it hobbled Smith's pursuit of Trump based on his discussions with Pence, which it said are presumed immune because the vice president's duties include presiding over Congress's election certification. Smith may argue that Pence was acting as president of the Senate on January 6 and not as an executive branch advisor to the president, who plays no role in counting electoral votes. But writing for the majority, Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr. was silent on whether the prosecution could satisfy the court's test that considering such Trump-Pence talks would not pose dangers of intrusion on the authority and functions of the executive branch. Smith could argue the bulk of the rest of the indictment should survive. For example, he has said Trump exploited the disruption caused by the unprecedented assault on the Capitol, which was fueled by lies by the defendant. Smith could argue that Trump's statements and tweets were made as a candidate for office, not as president, and therefore unofficial. The prosecution could also argue that Trump's interactions with people outside the executive branch, such as promoting slates of fake electors and pressuring state officials such as those in Arizona or Georgia to flip the election his way, are not immune because presidents have no legal authority over state legislatures, nor over how states appoint electors. Still, Roberts wrote that Chutkan would have to assess numerous alleged interactions with a wide variety of state officials and private persons to establish if Trump was acting in his official capacity or as part of a private scheme, and that a review of his statements would be fact-specific and challenging. The Supreme Court limited prosecutors in two other ways, ruling that neither they nor courts can consider a president's motives in weighing whether conduct is immune, and they may not consider official acts as evidence in prosecuting unofficial acts. The result may hamstring prosecutors from being able to prove corrupt motive or intent, a core part of criminal law. Prosecutors have cited public statements by Trump and his conversations with executive branch officials to prove that he knew or was put on notice of that his election claims were false. But prosecutors will have to satisfy a judge that charges occurred in Trump's unofficial capacity and can be proved using evidence from unofficial acts, such as Trump's alleged threat that Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, could be prosecuted if he could not find 11,780 votes to flip the state result in his favor. How fast can things move? In asking the Supreme Court to fast-track the case this February, the special counsel had argued that there was a compelling national interest in seeing Trump's case brought to a speedy and fair verdict, writing, "The public interest in a prompt trial is at its zenith where, as here, a former president is charged with conspiring to subvert the electoral process so that he could remain in office." But the High Court rebuked lower courts last month for acting so quickly that they failed to consider very significant constitutional questions, beginning with how to differentiate between official and unofficial acts among the indictment's extensive allegations. Once warned, Smith and lower courts may be reluctant to move quite so quickly again. Still, there is some urgency to the case because the public has a right to a speedy trial just as the defense does, McQuaid said. And if Donald Trump is not elected president, this case will go to trial eventually, so the prosecution and judge have a duty to protect that right by acting with urgency.